Well, I'm excited to start a new sermon series today. How many people are familiar with the term throwback? You've heard this before. Or you've read it before. You've seen it before. How many people have never heard the word throwback in your life? Thanks, John. So this is the concept of throwback, is to reflect, then share something meaningful from your past. It's to remember something and then share it. A lot of times on social media, you'll have on Thursdays, it's called Throwback Thursdays. I don't know why I can't. Just someone did it once and it just caught on. But the concept is you take a picture or you get a picture from your past, your history, and you share it online and you reflect and all your friends go, ha ha ha. Or if they're nice, man, you look great when you're younger. But with that, we're putting up some throwback pictures around. And if you have some pictures you want to put up, bring it in. We can pin it on. And we also have those scrapbook corners. Do you know what I'm talking about? The corners you put up and so you don't damage the picture? Some people know exactly what I'm talking about. Some people are like, what? If you don't know what that is, that's totally fine. Yes.
Sorry, I don't do this. But since we're on the throwback, if you guys would all direct your attention to the top left over there. It's the best picture here.
Thanks. That's you got an applause. Like I wow. The 90s frosted tips are no more. Bring it back. When Saved by the Bell comes back, I'll bring back the frosted tips. Jimmy Fallon brought it back for one time. But yeah, we want to do some throwback pictures. And if you have some, bring them in. And I would love to see all the board covered and just complete collage of people from the church. I think that would just be really neat. And some people were asking in the bottom left picture over there. It's pretty funny, but it's when Patty graduated. That picture's not Photoshop. That really is Ken from The Office. And he came for Patty's graduation. Even though his wife is graduating, but we like to think he came for you. So if you've ever seen The Office, that's not my dad. That's from a TV show. And then I think it's tied between that one and the picture of London in a shark mouth. There's like a cutout. Because right as we took it, I don't know, she got freaked out. Wow. Thanks, bro. Thanks. It's good to take that down. So... Right as London was about to take the picture, she just goes, like coming out of the shark. And I like that picture a lot. So this sermon series is all about throwback. It's connecting our past with God's past and really asking the question, what next? That's it. That's the entire concept of throwback. And I was thinking about 2015, the year 2015, how it's wrapping up, and the different things that we did, and how this year was, it flew by fast. 2015 really went by fast, and I had done some research of the number 15 in the Bible, and one of the 15s kept popping up of season of rest, and so I declared that this year for us spiritually was a season of rest, and all that entails of resting, of preparing, of growing, and I was doing some more research on 15 and 2015. Did you know that most young people have vision 2015 and the young adults have 2020 and then some of us go to 2050 and 22,000, you know, whatever. It just keeps going up. And the idea is they were saying that 2015 is most young people have this vision unless you were, God wanted to bless you with some stylish glasses. But you start with 2015 and it just kind of grows. The number gets a little bigger and bigger as time goes on, 2020, 2050, and so on. And it's because I looked up, it's the shape of your skull changes with your lenses, your eyes. The older you get, the more growth you have, and so the shape of your head changes, and that just a slight change will change your vision. As Martin was saying, how his head was growing. He's like, my head is growing. Sorry, that was just hilarious right then. As soon as I said it loud, it wasn't as funny, but in my head, it was really funny. And so it's really interesting that the younger you are, typically, the better vision you have. And as you grow, your vision deteriorates. It's not like I've never read or heard about someone's vision actually getting better just on its own natural. I know it happens, but I've never met someone personally. That's what I want to say. Where it's just your vision is increasingly growing better naturally over time. And I was kind of equating this to not just physical vision, but spiritual vision. Young people really latch on to vision easily. But sometimes, as we get older, we become more callous or whatever, things happen. Life happens. And it's easy for our vision to get a little bit blurry, a little bit unclear. And instead of seeing clearly what God is doing, we start really focusing on what's going on around us. You know, 2015, that vision actually stands for what people see at 15 feet, you can see at 20 feet. You can see what they see, but a farther distance. Is that interesting? What people have to get closer to see it, you can see from a distance. And I really believe that's what I want to happen in this sermon series. First, to have correct our vision, our perspective. This sermon series actually will last through December, November and December. It's the time when most people have the most joy, most pain, most hurt, most traditions. Our emotions are wrapped up in what things happen around us. Have you ever noticed, like, you go in and it's like the same tradition for 20, 30 years, and you go in and someone does something different, like, just obscure. Like, all of a sudden, the hams are cooked different. Like, there's marshmallows in... There's no marshmallows and sweet potatoes. And you're like, "Are you, what? Someone go to the store and get some, because we can't have Thanksgiving and love each other until this happens." You know, like, emotions get wrapped up in things around us. And I was thinking about a throwback series of just everything intertwined, the vision, perspective. And if we can't see our future or our past clearly, we have a hard time moving forward in our present. We'll make good decisions or bad decisions based on the clarity of the vision that we have. If we fail to see what God's doing down there in our future, we might not make the best decisions right here. Does that make sense? If we can't understand, okay, God's moving our family this way, and he's positioning us to do this and to do that. So right now is the preparation time. It doesn't just end up 30 years from now and God says, okay, time, and you're like, I'm good. You know, it's not like a superhero that's all of a sudden bit by a spider and then you're ready to be Spider-Man. It's more like Superman, where he is already called. He already has the powers. He has to train for it to become the man that he's supposed to be. Right? And side note for all the nerds, Batman's not going to kill Superman, okay? I'm just saying. In the new movie that's coming out, John already death stares at me right now as his favorite is Batman. But I'm sorry, Superman is not going to die in the movie. I think we could argue about that all day, but I think that would waste our time during service. Revelation 22:13. Can we open up that on the screen? Some of you said that was impressive. One hand, no eggshell while I'm talking and reading. Revelation 22:13, put up on the screen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, that's a great verse to say, man, God, that's great. That's really cool to read. But if you really think about it, you might have the same question that I have of just saying, what? How can you be first and last? How can you be the beginning and the end? Where does that place me? And I kept thinking about this verse, and I've spoken a little bit on this verse, and I've hinted at this before, and this is one of those verses I just go back to every once in a while and just think, what are you talking about, God? The first and the last? And I really comprehend this verse based on a track race. Okay, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but a track race, a first and the last. So first and last. So God is running the race with us, if you just picture with me, and he's in first place and he's in last place. Okay, everyone else is running the race. We're going the course of life, and God's in front and he's at the back. He's in front, he's in the back. And we're running the race of diligence, of faithfulness, and he's before us and he's behind us. And if you look at it like that, this verse all of a sudden gives hope. The fact that God is in front of us, paving the way of where we're about to go to. He's preparing the way. Have you ever been lost, like driving somewhere? That is scary. Has anyone been like really lost while driving? And you're like, before GPS, I'm sorry. Before phones, and you're sitting there and all your phone can do is make a phone call. And your parents like deactivate a text message because you got lit out of control 1 month and there was like 3,000 text messages. Just me. Okay. And so you can only make phone calls, but your phone is dead because back then you only had to charge it once a week and you didn't charge it that week yet. 90s people's problems. And so driving and my phone's dead and I'm lost in downtown Portland and I'm just driving around hoping that I can eventually find a freeway. And I'm just circling. If you've ever been to downtown Portland, it's the city of one ways. And it's like an island with bridges, and there's one freeway out of it. And the freeway, you just have to know where it is or have a GPS. And so I'm just driving around. And then ridiculous. I hate that feeling of just feeling lost. But there's hope in this verse of God is first because he's paving the way. And then this idea that he's not just first, but he's last place. Because he's running the race in our past. Everything we came from, everything we did, our hurts, our pains, our sins, our guilts. He's behind us saying, hey, I got your past covered. I died on the cross. You don't have to keep looking back. You need to focus on running forward. See, as Christians, sometimes we can almost forget that Jesus died on the cross and took our sins, and it's like, oh man, do you remember that? And if you run backwards, it's kind of like a little, you weave instead of just focusing on and allowing God to take care of the past and God to run in the present. It's following after that. That's this idea. That's kind of the illustrative concept of the sermon series, looking at our past, looking at our future, and running forward smoothly, efficiently, after the vision that God has called us to. Has anyone ever seen the movie Kung Fu Panda? One of the greatest like insights in that movie, there is this quote. It's just, you know, you're watching with your kids and all of a sudden, or a small person, or just yourself. And and you're watching, and so they say something, you're like, wow, that was really profound. There's a quote that just blew my mind when I heard it. Po says, maybe I should just quit and go back to making noodles. Oogway says, quit, don't quit. Noodles, don't noodles. You are too concerned about what was and what will be. There's a saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it's called a present. Man, how good is that for a kid's movie? I love that. I was reading an article that said the only thing that you can ever change in your life, you have complete control over, is your perspective. You can't change 100% of your situations because there's people involved, there's things involved, there's everything is involved. Can we turn the AC just a little bit for a few minutes? Nancy's just going to town with the notes card. I was getting a little toasty too. But the only thing you can ever change is your perspective. You can't change someone else because they're bothering you. You can't go up and like switch their battery like their data from Star Trek or something. Nerd throw up. It's a throwback series. I got to throw back all these things. You can't change other people so that you feel better. You can yell at them. You could be mean to them. You could be nice to them. You could do whatever you want. But you can't physically change them to be 100% what you want them to do. The only thing we have control over is our perspective. That's it. We can decide how we process what we think based on everything around us. Are we finding praise in situations that are horrendous? Or are we just bogged down by the horrendousness of the situations? What's our perspective? Oh, my life is just terrible right now. It's awful. It's bad. Well, you have all these things going for you. Is it really that awful? There are so many things you got. Man, for one, you're living on the West Coast, near Ventura, near the ocean. People would kill for this area. You know? Things might be going bad, but there's perspective to every situation. What perspective are you taking? I was reminiscing of different things from my childhood and other people's childhoods, and just going through Pinterest boards of throwback of different things that exist, and we'll get to all of them during this sermon. It's not all of them, but a lot of things. Like, how many people remember Tamagotchi pets? How many people like let your Tamagotchi pet die? Shame on you. Just kidding. How many people remember what's another? Slinkies. Slinkies were, yes. Beanie Babies. Those are still happening. What's replaced Beanie Babies is Tsum Tsums. Does anyone know what Tsum Tsums are? They're like these little Disney Beanie Babies that are like oblong shaped, and people wait outside the mall in lines because they only have 15 new ones each week, and they go crazy. They're like, I want a Darth Vader Tsum Tsum. It's like, you know, am I saying it right? Is that Tsum Tsum? It's spelled weird. It's like T-S-U-M, T-S-U-M with a dash somewhere in there. There's a dash. There's a dash. So I've seen all the different throwbacks and different things that existed throughout time that some were awesome, some were not awesome. They disappeared quickly. Like Laserdiscs, like those like came up for a minute. You still have your Laserdiscs?
No, we have like 40.
Why? That's awesome. And they'll be with you forever. Bring them Laserdiscs. That, oh my goodness. What's something else that came that quarter-inch tape recorders and what, or Cabbage Patch Kids? Now there's Garbage Pail Kids. That's still a thing. What else existed that was a throwback? Beta tapes? That wasn't out for very long at all. That was introduced and then gone. VHS. I think my favorite throwback for me, like every nostalgic thing, is no, not Be Kind, Please Run. But do you remember like every 80s and 90s and 2000 commercial all had like that high-pitched like noise that came on, and like kids would be like, yeah, yeah. And like G.I. Joe would like start moving on its own, and you get the toy and it like does nothing that did on the commercial. Like, shoom, and like cans would fall over, and like it just didn't happen. And I was also thinking about how many people had, this is the quintessential, how many people had an Easy Bake Oven? Oh my, how many people, does anyone remember they started marketing like a guy's Easy Bake Oven, and it was creepy crawly Easy Bake Oven? Does anyone remember that? Our parents, you can ask Pat, my brother back there, our parents were like, that's not good, it's not up to church, it's bad, and they were like, there's bugs, there's insects, it's gross, you can't have it. But our neighbors had it, which meant like we had it too, you know? So it's like if your neighbor has a cool toy, you just go over there and play it. And I remember you could like, you get all the gel and you put it in like the trays, and there's centipedes and just nasty looking spiders, and you pour all the, it was just straight glue. That's, or glue and sugar. That's like what you added in. And you put it in the Easy Bake Oven, and the little 40 watt light bulb would turn on, and you go somewhere for like 7 weeks, and then you come back and you get it out, and you still eat it, and it's still like raw inside, but it's delicious, you know. Like how many people when you baked your first Easy Bake Oven cupcake, it was amazing, you know. even though it was kind of like, it wasn't, it was cool because you made it, but it was still kind of like, it didn't taste great. And I was saying about that, the process of an Easy Bake Oven. You take one thing, you put it in the Easy Bake Oven, there's some heat on it, kinda, and you pull it out and it's transformed, right? You put something in, heat on it, pull it out, it's transformed. I was really thinking about that, that process of sometimes heat and pressure transforms something that's, it's over. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you just feel pressure, or you feel just the heat of the world just completely surrounding you, and it just feels like you can't get any better? Like you're almost like you're in an oven or Easy Bake Oven, if you will. And it's just the things of the world pressure cooking you and almost boiling you up. It's this concept. I found a couple stories in the Bible where God allowed people to go through those situations because he gave a promise beforehand saying, this is going to develop you into the person I've called you to be. There's a promise there. Remember when God promised? Title and message. Genesis 15:13. God said to Abraham, Abram, you can know for sure that your descendants will live in a land that is not their own, where they will be slaves and they will be oppressed for 400 years. That is almost the worst scripture to read. God said to Abram, you can know for sure that your descendants will live in a land. It's like, I promise you they'll live in a land that is not their own, where they will be slaves and they'll be oppressed for 400 years. I can guarantee you guys missed it. I can guarantee you missed it. There's a promise there. It's not they're going to be enslaved for there, and it's not that they're going to be. That's not the promise God gave. I think some of you missed it. There's an ending point. I promise you that I'll get you out. I promise you they'll be there for his time, but I'm coming. I got my boy Moses lined up. He's not born yet, but he's coming. There's an ending, and I promise you, you will not be there forever. You will come out of it, and you're going to be developed. You're going to be my people. You know what I love about this story of Abraham's descendants? Is they went as a family of 40 people into Egypt, and they came out a nation. Is that wild to think about? 40 people walked into Egypt through God's promise and walked out a nation because they went into an incubator. If you don't know what an incubator is, it's where you have children that are not developed yet and they've come out of the womb, and children are placed into an incubator to finish their development. They're warmed up. They're heated up. And they're given certain things to incubate them so they can go on living the full life that they have in store for them. Sometimes we're in situations that we think might be destroying us, but really, it's just an incubation developing us for what God has called us to do. I want to challenge you. Take situations and change your perspective. Don't just say, man, this is horrendous. I hate this. That's not the end point. The end point is, you know what? I'm going to use it as an incubator. God's going to develop me, and there's a promise I'm getting out. There's a promise for my life. There's a promise and a purpose that I'm going towards, and I'm not going to sit here and wallow in self-pity for the rest of my life. Ain't nobody got time for that. Throwback 5 years ago. Sweet Brown. That woman. If you've ever seen that YouTube video, amen. I love it. Incubators. Pressure situations. The other situation I was thinking about is with I always get their names mixed up. Rayshak, Meshach, Abednego. I have to watch the VeggieTales to get it all in order. Daniel 3:15. Let's read this. Verse 15. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music. If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue from my hand? 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. We're going to believe God, good or bad. Bad situations aren't going to make us stop believing Jesus. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. What were they? They were bound, right? They were bound up. They were tied up and thrown into the blazing furnace. Verse 22, the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Verse 25, he said, look, I see 4 men walk around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. I love it. They went into a situation bound up and came out loosed. They went in alone and came out with Jesus. They went in with the idea of God, but came out with God. I think some of you need to hear one of those 3 things today. Are you holding on to a concept of God, or are you holding on to God? There's certain situations in your life that may have bound you up, but God will use those situations to unbind you in development. I know it's kind of like lofty thinking, but I want you to comprehend that today. God puts us in certain situations to finish our development. Some of us need to grow. Some of us need to be loosed. Some need to go let go of their concept of God and hang on to God. He can only do so much while we are refrigerated. Illustratively speaking, he can only do so much while we are refrigerated. Sometimes, like a cake mix that I horribly made this morning, I would not eat this because no measurement is accurate. Like a cake mix, we can live our life comfortably sitting in the refrigerator or allow God to transform us into the full calling of our lives. Sometimes it takes a little heat to get there. It takes a little pressure and a little standing in it to get to where we're supposed to go. God has called you to something greater than just the small situations that have added up. You know, it's like all these little tiny things have been added together. There's a little bit of sugar, a little bit of vanilla extract, a little, milk, egg. You know, there's a little bit of ingredients of everything. There's a little bit of every life situation you face from your past put together. But they all add up to a calling and a purpose. Your past hasn't disqualified you. It's added to the flavor of your life. Man, that was even in my notes. That was great. I can't even say it again. Every single aspect of your past, your history, is just an added flavor of the calling that God has for you. He is moving you towards something greater and bigger. He has such a purpose for your life. But you got to allow him to develop you. And I'm not saying he uses horrendous situations to develop everyone. What I am saying is he will develop you. But how he develops you is through your perspective. Good situations, bad situations. How are you developed? I wrote this down. Is your comfort preventing you from developing? Are you more concerned with sitting in the fridge as a mixture rather than allowing God to take you out and start working in you? A lot of times it's that discomfort. That's the pressure cooker. That's the thing that presses on us, that cooks us. Man, some of the greatest meals are through a pressure cooker. That was amen from Nakia. It's funny. All right. I just have three final points. I'm gonna wrap up on these. Number one, remember he has a promise for your life. Three ways to change your situation. Remember he has a promise for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Number two, remember he knows the timing. That's critical in a lot of your lives right now. He knows the timing. He said they're going to be there for 400 years. Not a day sooner, not a day longer. I have the timing ordained and ready to go. It's set in stone because I know what it is. Matthew 24:36. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. He knows all timing. He knows the timing of the end of the earth. He knows the timing of the end of your life. He knows the timing of everything. And I really believe that's a comfort. I really believe it is. It could be a curse or a comfort, but it's how you take it. Number three, remember he is with you. Isaiah 41:10. And I love the Message translation on this. Don't panic, I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength, I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. The people of Egypt had to throw back to what God promised. They had to. They had to throw back to what God promised. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to throw back to what God was going to do in their lives. They had to. So really the question today is, are you going to throw back to God's promises or to pains and hurts and frustrations? What's your throwback? And I wrote this quote, and it really didn't fit anywhere in the middle of the message. But I just wanted to share it. We can become entrenched in tradition if we are not quenched by the mission. We can get so held up in traditions and doing things over and over just because we always have, like Thanksgiving or Christmas. If we don't comprehend and understand really what the mission of our life is, are we held up in traditions or missions? One is circular and one is directional. One keeps you doing this and one has you moving forward. And I just want you to think about that today. And Janelle, would you be able to come up just by yourself instead of the whole worship team and just kind of lead us out? Just maybe a chorus of a song, just as a reflection time as we worship God together. Can I have everyone stand up? Lord, I love this concept of the sermon series that you placed on my heart. Just this idea of connecting our past to you and propelling us forward. And I think it's such a critical time, just through the holidays. It's so relevant. It's so needed. It's so necessary. But God, I pray that this theory wouldn't just be lost on our hearts and our ears. But when stuff hits the fan, let us reminisce on this idea and remember that you promised. Let us not reflect on the hurts and the angers, but on the promises that you have for us. That's what it all comes down to, God. Changing our perspective in the moments that we need to change it. You know, as everyone's eyes are closed right now, is anyone here today just saying, I want to dedicate my life to Jesus? You know what? I think I may have had a concept of God before, but I want God. I may have had an idea of God that I'm holding on to, but I want God. I may have just had thoughts towards God, but I want God. If today you want a relationship with Jesus rather than a routine with Jesus, if that's you today, that's really sticking out in my spirit to say that today specifically, would you just stick your hand up right where you're at right now? Just everyone's eyes are closed. I just want to, if you raise your hand, I just want to see it and pray over you. Okay. Amen. I see a couple hands, so I want to pray over you right now. Everyone keep your eyes closed. Jesus, I pray you'd build these relationships. Allow them to go beyond just connecting to an idea of you and to be in communication through prayer, worship, reading the Bible, and build a relationship with you. God, let us go deeper than ever before. Let us grow in friendship with you. Relationship with you, in love with you. God, because there's so much to be had. So much to be had. In Jesus' name, amen. If you raise your hand, can you come see me after service? I would love to pray individually with you. And let's worship God together for a moment.